You're listening to a Squabble Box podcast.
Today, James and I are here on the Attack of the B-Movie podcast to talk about
Dead End Drive-In.
Now, When James suggested this movie to me, he suggested that we do I said, "What kind of movie is it?" He said, "It's Ozploitation." To which me, being I'd never heard the term, was like, "It exploits Ozzy Osbourne. I don't know what this is." And then James, would you like to explain it?
So I sent you a link. Ozploitation, basically. Australian exploitation films is what these are. So Mad Max would count, right?
Basically, any post-apocalyptic movie in Australia.
Yeah,
is basically what it is.
Yep.
It's funny because there's a few other ones on that list that I have seen, Battle Truck and a couple other ones. I think were on that list.
Okay, I've seen
Mad Max, of course.
I've seen Turkey Shoot. The Loved Ones, which is a later one. I've seen Road Games, but it's been a while since I've seen that. And, that's all that really come to. Oh, Razorback. But also, I've seen Razorback. Yeah. So, I've seen a couple of these movies. I have some familiarity with them.
Yeah, it's funny because this style movie is very Mad Max-ish in some aspects, except that as I'm watching this, the movie cost, by the way, it spent $2.5 million Australian to make it. Sadly, it only made $68,000. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm not really sure why. I would have thought it would have made more.
Well,
go ahead, sorry.
I looked into this because Trailers from Hell has a YouTube channel. And so I watched their videos here and there. And Brian Trenchard Smith, the director, he did his own video, and he did his commentary on the Australian as well as the U.S. trailers, and it turns out this movie was much better received in the U.S. So I think that's part of why.
So it's strange because the movie opens and it's basically just talking about disasters and economic collapse, and there's the Wall Street crashes in 1990, which I want to say we actually crashed right around there. Mm-hmm. But it's your typical things that everybody has been sounding the alarm bell for 200 years that would happen and drive us back into the Stone Ages. And those things have happened even recently. And we still have electricity and it's not lawless. But mm-hmm. In the 80s, everyone thought that would happen. Now, granted, if there was a nuclear attack or whatever, but so this movie opens, and the song's catchy. It's a very 80s movie song.
Yeah, Machinations, what's the name? My Heart's on Fire is the...
Yeah. I guess the soundtrack was kind of a who's who of Australian artists at the time, too. Mm-hmm. And it's just this dude running. Just running, and then, like, throwing punches in the air. Mm-hmm. Not sure what to make of this, like, right? Then he's like, it's daytime, then it's dark. I'm like, so you're living in this Mad Max kind of world where clearly it's not safe. And he wasn't like a big dude. He's kind of scrawny looking, obviously in good shape as he jogs, but still you're like, dude, what are you doing? And he gets confronted by a group of car. What are they called? They're called Carboys.
Yeah.
Because apparently, so correct me if I'm wrong, basically cars have become a very hot commodity.
In most cases steal parts, or at least attempt to steal them, and I would say it seems like they're modding their own cars or selling them. Either way, they're making something off of them. I would imagine they're not just letting the parts sit around; they're getting some use out of them.
Yeah, but it's odd because nothing from the opening explains really why Australia, where this movie takes place, is in the condition it's in. Mm-hmm. Right? Because there's like, it talks about some, like, I think there's a natural disaster it mentions near Australia, a nuclear disaster, by, I think, Bikini Atoll or something. And then the Wall Street crash. And it's, I don't know how the 80s were. And they just, you know, it's, that was the big concern, was all this stuff happened. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, your major plot, your major catalyst. But they still have electricity. People still have food. And New South Wales has never been a hotbed of jobs. So I don't know. It's just, it was kind of odd almost. But I don't know if it was, like, I liked what I was watching so far. But then he gets home, right? He gets confronted by these guys, and the cops show up to, they're chasing somebody else, and they go to chase after him. Because we find out as the movie goes on that tow truck drivers and carboys compete, and tow truck drivers compete with each other to salvage vehicles that wreck. Mm-hmm. And apparently wrecks happen all the time, mm-hmm. is what it sounds, yeah. looks like. So he gets home, he's eating dinner with his mom, and is this his brother, Frank?
I believe so.
Yeah. Right, I think Frank's his brother, and his brother's a bigger dude, and he goes on a salvage run with them. And this is the odd thing to me, because this movie's only like 88 minutes long.
Yeah,
I'm 20 minutes or so or more into the movie at this point, and I haven't gotten to the driving part. So I'm kind of like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And he turns up. So then it turns out that this kid, I can't think of his name, but they call him Krabs. I think it's Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy.
And they call him Krabs for some reason, whatever reason. He has a mint condition 56 Chevy or 57. Uh-huh. I mean, mint condition, brand, like, looks like it came off the showroom floor. The classic red and white that all the fans of those cars love. I'm not a huge fan of those 50s cars. I like the 60s muscle cars, and I like the you know, hot rod cars from whenever, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. the big boat car is not really my thing. So he's got this mint condition car. And he picks up his girlfriend, and they're going to drive and go see a movie at the drive-in.
And what does it say when they sign? Because I think I wrote it down. It says, adults are $10 for adults, unemployed, $3.50. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just odd that he's got this very cherry mint car, and he's willing to drive it.
Yeah.
In this world he lives in, where cars are such a commodity.
Well, I think because it's his brother, isn't it? His brother's. Before that, he
was it his brother's car.
Yeah, he drives to.
Oh yeah, it's his brother's car. You're right.
Because he drives to the Carboys' territory, and they kind of chase him down, right?
Yeah.
Right. So you have to think of that.
But he does. But it's his brother's car. But even then, knowing what it's like out there, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not driving. And like, at one point, they stop. They're at a stoplight, and this guy's like just hysterically laughing as he's trying to cut down a stoplight. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm like, I don't know whether I think this is corny, because, like, first off, let me get this out of the way right now. I like girls with women with accents, and the girlfriend is not only very attractive, she has a nice Australian accent. So highlighted the movie for me is her. But I'm like, I don't know if this, like, I'm watching how the carboys act and stuff and the color schemes, and it's such a weird fusion of new wave, punk, post-apocalyptic. I'm like, I don't know if I think this is corny or innovative.
Right.
I
like all that stuff, but
I do too. But I just don't know if I like it all in one movie.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I like a lot of that style, you know. But it was enjoyable. I didn't have any major issues with it. I mean, it, mm-hmm. you know. So take it from there, my friend, because this is one of your picks. So
yeah, and then, you know, they get into the drive-in, they find a place to park, and she doesn't want to park by the cops because she had gotten into some trouble, and so then they park to this other next to this other vehicle, and I think it's just some guy who, you know, basically lives there because.
Well, we find out why in a few minutes.
Yeah. So, and then they get to the point where they're watching the movie.
Well, make sure to mention that he tells, when he goes to pull in, he says, two unemployed, please.
Oh, yeah.
That's what kicks off the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm. So it's two unemployed people, and they're both unemployed, and, you know, looking for something to do. So they're at the drive-in, and then, so Turkey Shoot is the movie that's playing, which I've seen that one, and that is one of Brian Trenchard Smith's movies. So that's playing on in the background while Carmen and Jimmy, they're engaged in sexual activity.
Not enough nudity in this one, though.
That's true. And then
there's a very solid reason this podcast will never become a mainstream podcast.
And there's a point where there's a man with a flashlight. He approaches their car, kind of suspiciously. It's like, well, why? What is he up to, right, with a flashlight? And unless he has to, you know, something to tell them or something like that. Well, two of the cars are taken off while they're having sex. And Jimmy's like, what's going on here, right? And so the police, turns out the police took the wheels because they don't want him to leave, right?
Yeah, that's when we start so I guess it's really in the morning when everything's light out. We find out that basically the drive-ins aren't drive-ins anymore. They're concentration camps for teenagers who don't have jobs or for people that don't have jobs. Mm-hmm. And they're fed a steady diet of Ozploitation films, junk food, and drugs. And they basically just live at the drive-ins. Mm-hmm. Now, not going to lie, doesn't really sound like a horrible thing.
No.
And really, like, most of the movie, even near the end, when they were like showing most of the people there and most of the, I mean, it really wasn't like, it was better than most like places like that.
Yeah.
But it was just weird because they wanted to keep these kids off the streets and not causing crime. So the idea was, let's put them in these drive-ins.
Yeah. And he in the morning, well, I think it's before. Yeah. He goes on the report of theft and it turns out that, the Thompson, who's basically the guy who manages the drive-in, right?
Right.
He tells him you can't leave. So then they go back in the morning and they come back to him again to find out, you know, what happened with the wheels. But he doesn't really give him a strained answer. He doesn't. Instead, he gives him meal tickets because that's how you're able to get food.
Mm-hmm.
Is a meal ticket in this world, right?
Yep.
Because not. I would imagine nobody there has much money to spend.
Especially if they're stuck there forever.
Yeah. So there's no buses. There's no transport, which is even like.
Work. And you're not allowed to walk on what they call S roads, which are security roads, which are what lead to the drive-ins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We find that out too. He tries to escape a few times too. It's hilarious. Cause like first he finally finds tires. And then he finds out his gas tank's empty. Somebody drained it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finds gas for his gas tank, and it won't start because somebody stripped the engine.
Yep.
So clearly they were trying to keep him here. So he's a health guy, right? The jogging and all that. And he's trying to stay healthy and upbeat, and he wants to escape. Meanwhile, Carmen is looking a little sluttier every scene. Mm-hmm. And, like, just falls right into the culture that's there. And still looks damn hot. Don't get me wrong. Still looks damn fine. But she just doesn't seem to have the same desire he does to escape or anything. I mean, she wants to still be with him, but she wants him to be with her there. And we start finding out that there's a racial component to this.
Yeah. The fact that they're immigrants, right? And
yeah, they're Asian immigrants.
I can imagine, like, you know, that their living conditions before coming to the drive-in were, you know, they probably were living in poverty, but I can imagine they were a lot better than than having to live in a drive-in. And they may have been unwillingly taken from their homes, and we don't know for sure, but.
We know that they were dropped off there by the police in this movie. The thing is, I don't know what was going on in the early to mid 80s in Australia when it came to social injustice and everything else, to be honest. I mean, maybe there was a movement like that. I mean, that's how Hitler took power. He just scapegoated, you know, the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in Australia, there was a contingent of people trying to scapegoat the Asians and blame them. And that's what this movie plays on, is that the supremacist groups in the drive-in see them and get, you know, more aggressive and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then basically I brought all that up because Carmen basically becomes indoctrinated into those racist groups. And that's why she doesn't want to leave.
That's true.
But this whole time through, parts of it still seemed very corny. And I don't know if it was because the new wave look to the clothing or some of the terms they use are different from ours, so it just sounds kind of odd. Mm-hmm. Like, near the end, I'll talk about it when we get to that part, but anyways. But I mean, it was a very interesting movie up to this point, and it continues to remain interesting, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Right, because, I mean, we have they go to get something to eat, and the walls are, I think they're covered in, you know, well, it's kind of a shabby-looking restaurant, right?
It's a drive-in diner, I mean.
Yeah. So it's seen better days, that's for sure, and there's, you know, graffiti on the wall, graffiti all over the, you know, basically a lot of the set design has graffiti and artwork, and definitely a lot to take in with that, I feel. And
well, as time goes on, his car becomes more graffiti also.
Yeah, and we get to a point where we see the punks, they see Jimmy trying to start his car. I think he does get to start, yeah, and because Kermit goes to take a shower, he goes to Thompson and asks if he can use the phone. And then, so the punks, there's a kind of a conflict here where we get to the point where there's a punk's conflict with Jimmy is that they see him with Thompson and they think he's kind of taking his side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which I thought that added to that, because I had seen this before and I didn't quite remember that part, but, you know, and Thompson basically talks to him and he says, there's a pay to kick against his system, asking those kinds of questions, which, you know, I can feel that. I like that because, the way I kind of viewed the movies on screen is that the violence. Well, I mean, yeah, this is for entertainment, for entertaining those that are watching everything on screen. But also, it's a way that it's kind of encouraging Jimmy to resist giving in, right?
Mm-hmm. Because
he sees the violence that's going on, but he's also kind of trying to protect himself, and
right.
it kind of works knowing that exploitation is kind of anti-establishment, so it's kind of playing on that, I feel.
Yeah, that's the confrontation where he ends up getting in the fight with that guy that's like a foot taller than him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they both have cricket bats. I remember that part. I like that fight because...
I'm a fan of the cricket bats in fight. Like Shaun of the Dead, I thought the cricket bat was a fantastic
choice. Oh, yeah.
I'm a fan of that. Yeah, it was a pretty interesting fight. But even like when the guy was like laughing at him like maniacally, it didn't like I wasn't like scared. I mean, granted, I'm 42, I'm not gonna get scared watching a movie. Yeah. But I was like, if I was Jimmy, I'd just be like, are you okay? Is something wrong? Or because you're really, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just the case of the actors are just not fantastic. But I don't know. But the fight scene was interesting. I mean, he's running across cars, hiding in cars, hiding under cars. And eventually he does kick the guy's ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's shortly after that I want to say the Asian racism really plays in, because he's in the washroom, or he walks in the washroom and there's an Asian guy in there and they're all picking on him and stuff. And
yeah.
Jimmy steps up and that guy's there again, dressed way, way nerdier and goofier. And Jimmy says, I already took care of you once. And then everyone kind of like, this is near the end too, when he's getting ready to like try to escape again, and everyone. We forgot to mention he got electrocuted on a fence too. But everyone kind of backs off, and then the one guy tells him, "Well, you know, you're a white Australian. You should be on our side." And you know, there's a meeting of the white Australians, whatever, after the movie at midnight. You should be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I found it funny how they took offense to him zig-hailing them and saying "Mein Führer."
Oh yeah, was that
right? He gave like a little Hitler salute and said that, and they kind of like.
Oh yes,
they were kind of offended.
That. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, "How are you offended? You're doing the same thing." Right.
Yeah. Even because Carmen, she thinks that the Asians could rape her, and
because the white people, the white guys couldn't.
Right. Yeah, and it does address that, right? As I was saying, it gets into that a little bit. So she expresses concerns, but it's like, I feel like at the same time, it's not really, she's making that statement because she's addressing the mindset of the punks mm-hmm. in there, right? And even though she doesn't really have much to go off of in that regard, so...
Yeah, they're just grasping at anything that they could try to.
Yeah.
You know, try to use against. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, whatever they could use to scapegoat somebody, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then we get one hell of a car chase.
Yeah, because he siphons gas from the police car to put in his own. The police see him. They're like, "What are you doing?" Right. So yeah, he gets in the tow truck, right?
He's in a tow truck, and Thompson sees him in the tow truck, doesn't he? And tells him, get him?
I want to say so, yeah. Yeah.
And the cops are hilarious in this. Well, you know what makes it so corny? And it's not that it's any fault of the movie or directors. It's more of a sign of the times, right? Like, if you ever saw, there was a movie that came out late 80s, early 90s, and it's got multiple names because it was an Italian production. It was a very similar idea. It was a post-apocalyptic movie. There was a new world order, like, kind of government that took over, and there were the freedom fighters fighting against it. And Donald Pleasance was actually in it. And it was on MST before too. What the hell was the name? Warrior of the Lost World.
Okay.
And it seems like anytime there's a post-apocalyptic movie, it's let's dress like we're in a new wave band and wrap the cars in tons of metal tubes.
Pretty much, yeah.
And that's kind of what they did here. It was kind of like, hey, look, a flock of seagulls is chasing the guy. But the cops just, and I'm sure it's just more just a product of the style and the time of those movies,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I think so too.
But yeah, he's in the tow truck. He's getting chased. And man, I really thought he was going to escape that time. I thought that was the end of the movie because there wasn't much left. At this point, you were like 65 minutes into the movie. And it's 88 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
He crashes the tow truck and they're chasing him and he's on foot and he eludes them. And he finds Carmen again and he tries talking to her and he tries getting her to go with him. He's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to escape. I want you to come with me. And because she said, I thought you wanted to be with me. And he said, I do, but she just won't let go of the lifestyle. She's just, that far in. And he's just kind of like, all right. And he confronts Thompson again.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells Thompson to erase his name from the computer. And I was surprised. I thought at some point him and Thompson had some sort of a relationship where Thompson was gonna like look the other way, and he didn't mm-hmm. because he had him at gunpoint. Thompson erased his records, and then he was hiding behind the counter with a shotgun to Thompson, and the cop walked in and Thompson's like, get him.
Yeah
Like, wow. And funny thing, Jimmy's not who killed Thompson. They were struggling with the shotgun. They shot the cop. The cop fired when he got shot, and he killed Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
It was just such an odd thing. I really thought Thompson was going to let that last one slide and just let him go at that point.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
So then Krabs gets himself another – now he gets a cop pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a lot less exciting and a lot less climactic than the last chase. The last chase was, what, like 5 minutes, right? I mean, they were chasing him a while through the whole drive-in. And actually, they're shooting at him in that one, and everyone in the diner's like, hey, there's something going on outside. Let's go look. Which was a kind of funny to me, too. It's like, now you guys want to see what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
This one, he's got the cop car, he's heading towards the tow truck. He jumps the tow truck, crashes through what I think it was called the Starlight Drive-In.
Star Drive-In, yeah.
Star Drive-In.
Yeah.
Crashes through the sign, lands on the road, and takes off.
Yeah.
And this is one of the parts that was really corny to me, and maybe it's just because, you know, slang's different, but the vehicle lands, and he's, like, smiling, and he's just like, choice. I'm like, yeah. What? Or something like that. It's something that's, I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
And then he just drives off into the sunset. I kind of wanted to see an after thing where they show Frank get pissed at him when he gets back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know if they had additional scenes and they just never queued up, just never released them. I mean, maybe, but I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it was just, I think it was made to be a short movie and everything. And
yeah,
honestly, it was a great movie. I thought it was actually a great movie. I thought it was actually really good. I thought it had somewhat of a corny feel at times, and the music sometimes didn't match the tone of the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see that, but I mean,
some of it was a little too poppy for like the kind of movie it was.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, like I was expecting like the Buzzcocks and got like, you know, something much lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they're not an Australian band, but still.
Yeah, because I think the only songs, like, I feel like the soundtrack, it is, you know, memorable in some regards, but this
yeah, I agree.
I feel like, you know, the Machinations song, the one that we have early on, and I feel like the closing credit song, the Lisa Edwards one, I feel like those two are, I've listened to those ones the most, so I'm the most familiar with those. So I mean, I don't know, I didn't mind like I think it was Hunters and Collectors when he's in the Cowboys territory. I feel like that did
that fit. That song was good.
Yeah.
That fit. Yeah, that fit. Yeah. Some of the songs fit, but the two you mentioned, the ending song and the beginning song, didn't really fit the tone to me.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I would say yes and no for me, but I can see where you're coming from, you know?
Yeah.
But
they were good songs, though. I thought they were good. It just didn't seem. It didn't blend for me. But I mean, the movie overall was. I thought that's why I was surprised it only made $68,000.
Because
I'm like, this actually is not a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
If you want bad, watch, I don't know, Zombie Night from 2013. I watched that.
Recently. Or the one that I have to post still, Zombie Apocalypse or Zombie Nightmare. I have to post it still, so we can't give you anything about it. But yeah, that definitely worse. Fun though, but definitely worse. And this is a movie that really did have a deep amount of social commentary in it. I mean, realistically,
yeah,
about the times.
Like that, because you know, it's similar to what our current situation. You know, not to the same degree, but you know, it does bring that to mind. I think and.
Well, yeah, I mean, it brings to mind the general global feel after any numerous disasters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the stock market, major market crashes that affect the world, or or wildfires, or massive tsunamis, or 9/11, or what's happening now. I mean, you know, there's a sense of hopelessness to a lot of people, and that's what this movie was, you know, trying to. Initially, I thought this was going to remind me of a lot of the trauma films from the 80s.
Oh, right.
The Rock and Roll High School kind of stuff. I thought this was going to kind of remind me of that. And after the initial couple minutes, it didn't. I think, yeah, I enjoyed it, though. It was a good call, man. What do you think of this movie overall?
I mean, I liked it. I mean, I've seen it, twice now, because I'd seen it a couple years ago, and I wanted to rewatch it. And, you know, I feel like I you know, I'd say, 4 out of 5 for me. I'm around there on it. I do feel like, you know, some of the songs, maybe they could have placed them differently, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe because of some, I feel, they do kind of, they kind of don't. Right.
I guess I kind of more expected a soundtrack that was more reminiscent of like Repo Man.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
But, you know, some punk, a little bit of rockabilly, especially because he had that 57 Chevy. Yeah. So I kind of expected that kind of a soundtrack more so. But then since everybody was kind of dressed like it was New Wave, I understand why that soundtrack wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's much more like synth pop and
like our intro
kind of sound to it. Yeah,
like our intro and our outro, which I like a lot. There's a lot of synthwave bands out there that do music like that I think are fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to see it's getting like this resurgence to a point. But for a movie that was shot over 35 days and at a drive-in theater for $2 million, it's a solid movie. I would say for me, it's a three and a half out of five. Okay. I don't know if I'd go four. I think some of the shots and set pieces were good. I think the acting could have been slightly better, but it was an enjoyable movie and everybody played their roles relatively well. Like, it just seemed, I don't know. There were just parts of it that just, I was like, like how the mom's acting was, or even the brother. It was kind of like, I don't know. There's something like, I can't put my finger on it right now. But it was an enjoyable movie. I kind of wish they had escaped together, but I think I'm probably happier they didn't, because it really, you know, that's the utopian ending, right? He escapes with her and everyone escapes and they all mm-hmm. see the light or something. Mm-hmm. So this way it's just him.
Yeah. Well, initially I'm reading here and Brian Trenchard Smith, he had thought about doing a sequel, but because this was not successful commercially, he didn't get a chance to make one. But I feel like if he did, he would have, cleared up, well, maybe not cleared up, but, gone into more detail about some of the other parts and, some of the other characters that we, mm-hmm. that we meet along the way. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have liked to have seen a sequel, to be honest. I really would have.
Yeah.
He also said, the director also said that, to him, the drive-in was an allegory for the junk values of the 80s, which our hero sees as a prison. Which is funny, because currently, I really miss the junk values of the 80s.
Yeah, and around here, I have heard that since movie theaters, the regular theaters, I don't know if any of them open, but I've heard that some of the drive-ins have been, so I might go and check one out.
I didn't even think about that. There might be a resurgence for that, because you're not near anybody. Mm-hmm. Especially if you bought like your ticket online, rolled up to a thing, put your phone under it, like how you do for like the parking services. Mm-hmm. That's genius. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Copyright James Grimmer. Attack of the B-Movie Podcast 2020. I kind of felt bad that this movie didn't make more money. I think it was better than a lot of movies that came out at the time. Would you watch a remake of this?
I mean, I feel like if the director was involved, he could probably, because the social commentary, he definitely has something there, right? And he could, mm-hmm. He could implement that if he were to do a remake, maybe in a different kind of a way, but still have the kind of the core of it there, right? The foundation of it there. But yeah, I mean, maybe if you do a remake or something along those lines, I feel like, because. I haven't seen them. Well, I've seen Leprechaun 3 and 4 from him as well, but they're not on the same wavelength. But
he has
that style that, maybe not New Wave. Maybe he would do a different kind of a style. Maybe not necessarily New Wave, but I feel like he could come up with something. And
well, I guess you could stick with the general style, because if this is a sequel to something that follows events that happened in the late 80s, early 90s, I mean, society at that point, has collapsed and it's going to take time to rebuild it. So really a lot of the same stuff could be still there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, I find it funny that the movies tried making the statement against racism, and then the Indian guy that was, or the, I guess, yeah, the Asian guy, the one who just said Indian guy, you'll find out why in a second. The Asian guy who was getting picked on is named Gandhi McIntyre, and he's credited as Indian. Like, guys, give the guy a name. You know, it's like you're making a movie about the, you know, racism being horrible, and you just credit the guy as Indian.
Oh, the guy with the, I think he was wearing a turban or something.
Yeah, I think he was like probably a Sikh Indian or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and what's also I thought was kind of funny is that the punks, their attitude is nonconformity. Their punk ideology, right? Well, I guess new wave punk. And you know what I mean, but yeah, they're the nonconformist attitude, but at the same time they all
conform with each other.
And just to the control of the government, you know, even that. It's kinda like but you know, yeah.
Does everyone know though that they're there because the government's keeping them there?
I feel like not all of them do.
I just found it hard to take some of the punks seriously when you have ones dressed like the one guy when he's in the washroom when he's with the Asian guy. The one guy's like he looks like Tommy Boy kind of. He's wearing like a suit and he's like,
Oh yeah.
I'm like, I can't take you seriously watching this. Like if you were in front of me telling me this, I would just start laughing. Mm-hmm. I'd probably get killed, but at least I'd be like, what a way to go.
Yeah.
I think it could work as I'd like to see a sequel. A remake would be tough though.
Yeah.
But like you said, what do you put it as, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But overall it was a good pick, man. I liked it.
All right.
I enjoyed this one. It was nice that we got away from horror for a while. We did a lot of horror movies.
I mean it is horror, but it's like very light.
But it's not like
action and sci-fi than horror, really. That's my kind of interpretation.
But I don't even know. I mean, like, yeah, I would call it more action in general, because sci-fi is not much. I mean, other than there's not a science fiction event that caused the apocalypse in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a series of like just regular things, but I guess it still qualifies. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I consider it horror, to be honest, at all.
Right. I can kind of see that.
Action for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sci-fi, I can kind of see where you're going. But you got to remember though, we did films like Maniac.
Yeah.
No, this definitely is not horror. But it was a damn good flick. All
right.
But yeah, I mean, and most of the reviews were pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Although a lot of people called it a clone of Mad Max 2. Now, 3 was Beyond the Thunderdome, right?
Mm-hmm.
1 was just Mad Max the Road Warrior. Or the Road Warrior. What the hell was the second one? Because when I read that, I'm like, I'm drawing a blank. I don't remember the second. Wait,
the second one or the Mad Max the Road Warrior?
Which is the first one?
I think it's just Mad Max.
Okay. I know that one. That's the one that his wife gets killed. He's mm-hmm. the cop in the beginning. I know that one. And I know the one with Tina Turner. And I know I've seen all 3 of the originals, but for some reason, I cannot remember the second one at all.
Oh, that's where they're trying to get the... there's oil, right? And they have that Lord Humongous, I think.
Oh, yes.
The villain, right?
He takes over that... I don't want to say town, but he takes over that like encampment with the oil tanks or something like that. That mm-hmm. one? Is that what it is?
Well, they take over the town?
Not town, but it's like it's somewhere that's got oil.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I now remember it. When you said Lord Humongous, I'm like, yeah, I remember. So I don't see how this movie can be compared to that one at all.
Me neither. I mean,
but no, it was good. And him driving away scene might have been a little too long. Like I would have cut it right after he drove out of the sign that said Starlight Theater, 3 kilometers. But they kept going with it.
Yeah.
And he's just smiling with one hand on the wheel, bouncing in the car.
Yeah.
I'm like, credits? Seemed like it was a little long there. No, I'd say for me, it's 3 out of 3.5 out of 5. I'm gonna recommend this one to people if they ask for something to watch. Yeah. I think it's
something different, especially if you're not familiar with Ozploitation. You know, this is one to check out, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not real long. You're not wasting a lot of time. If you don't like it, you wasted less than an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, we don't have a movie picked out for next time for you guys. We'll work on that after the show, probably, and see if we come up with one. But thanks for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I know James and I have a good time doing this.
Mm-hmm, we sure did. Yeah.
Oh, it's so much more fun having a co-host. It's great. And, so we'll talk to you guys next time.
Talk to you guys next time.
You've been listening to a Squabble Box podcast.